It took a heart like yours to find its place. I've been at the wrong place at the wrong time, chasing all the wrong things most of my life. Been every kind of loss that you can't find, but I got one thing right. Been the kind of guy girls' mamas don't like, running with the wrong crowd on the wrong nights. I've been wrong about a million times, but I got one thing right. You.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, joined by Boris. That's how we do.
That's me. Hello.
And today we are blessed with the great Wanda.
Hey!
Our show is available live on your radio through our app called The Cure or our website, GodIsTheCure.com. We are broadcasting to your radio from Miami via satellite. Also on Facebook, search for God is the Cure. You can send us a message. Just click on Send the Message button and we would love to hear from you and we can reply. We also have an app called The Cure. This show deals with suffering and the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God and each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know that they're not alone, and in this show, the testimony started with me, having been a survivor from child abuse well into young adulthood. We also have professionals in the medical field and inspirational speakers that are willing to help and give valuable information because awareness is vital, transparency is needed, and I believe we can be there for each other. As for me, my healing came from God, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life can be very challenging, but always know we are not alone. That was One Thing Right by Marshmallow. It took a heart like God's for mine to find its place. We've all been at the wrong place at the wrong times, maybe chasing all the wrong things most of our lives. Some of us even experience every kind of loss that anyone can find. And even though I've been wrong about a million times, the one thing right I got was God, my family, and friends. I feel so blessed to finally get it right by prioritizing God in our lives, which has instilled in us a giving spirit. It is then that one considers others as precious children of God, and I'm grateful to know what it is to have or have not. But even more grateful that I can give back to those who are still struggling. Today's show will focus on faithfully donating in the midst and fundraising. And today's special guest is Gatsby Brown. Gatsby Brown is the founder and CEO of Have Faith Institute, and she is a specialist in nonprofit fundraising. She is also the author of several books. Her latest is called Business of Spiritual Matter, What All Leaders of Faith-Based Nonprofits Should Know. Gatsby, thank you for being on the show. We are now live on The Cure.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Amy, to really be here to talk about my favorite topics, which is fundraising and faith. And then we can add nonprofits in there.
Thank you. The honor is ours. Gatsby, are nonprofits really making a big difference in the world?
Oh, absolutely. Our lives are being changed globally. But let's bring it closer to home here in the United States. Over $427 billion was given to charities in 2018. And faith-based organizations play a big role in that, of that $427 billion that was given to charities. 69% of it was given to religion. And so we know that people are generous, and people of faith are even more generous.
Nice.
And they really are helping so many people in the world. When you think about it, and think about our country, there are three sectors that keep it going: government, business, and the nonprofit sector. So that gives you an idea of its importance, particularly to the United States and also globally.
It's also considered that Americans as a whole have a giving spirit. And do you believe that the typical American way of helping others through donations is still alive?
Oh, definitely. People are more generous than ever. And what I want to caution people about is being an informed giver, because ask for donations are coming from everywhere. Picture when we go to the supermarket, we've checked out our groceries, and they ask us to give to, say, breast cancer research. We've bought clothes, and we're there at the counter, and the cashier will ask, would you like to give to X charity? We are experiencing telemarketing at an all-time rate. So that is because people are generous here. But we must be cautious, and before we give, check the charity out. Don't just check out our groceries, but check out the charity too. Because once you get there to the counter and it's sort of an impulse buy, when you're asked to do this, you're a good person, it's only a couple of dollars, why not? You have faith that the money that you're giving is going to the right place. But I'm saying check it out, wait. Giving back shouldn't be an impulse purchase. Buyers beware.
So right. You're not basically a bad person if you check things out first.
Well, here's the thing. Do what the wise wealthy do. Oprah and Bill Gates and Robert Smith and all these people who are giving millions and billions of dollars, they are not just giving out of impulse. They are giving because they've checked the charity out. And I have a few ways that you can do that we can talk about.
So how about for us, that for some of us that are not Oprah or anything like that, and we don't have much to give, and we hear of all these telemarketers and charity places, there's so many, how do we know what's a legitimate charity donation place, and how can we confirm that it's for a good cause?
Okay, number one, if it's a telemarketer calling you on behalf of an organization, ask them how much of my donation is going to the charity. In several instances, these telemarketing companies, of course, they are businesses. So in some instances, 80% of your donation is going to the company and only 20% is going to the charity. That's not a good ratio.
And it could be a reputable company as well. I thought that not too long in the news, like a big company, one of the big companies, Red Cross or Salvation Army. I don't remember which one it was.
Yes, and they're large ones because these companies employ hundreds and hundreds of people who are just on the phone all day long making these solicitations on behalf of them. They could not afford to just bring that number of people in as employees, so they then contract it out. But when you're on the phone with them, ask how much of my donation is going to the actual charity and how much is going to you. And they must answer the question for you. Sometimes they'll answer to a supervisor. And the supervisor will answer that question for you. Once you have that question answered, then you'll know how to proceed. Another way is to look out for red flags, and I'll talk about them, but I'll give you a chance to ask another question.
Sure. I just wonder if they're obligated to tell you, are the calls recorded, just to make sure?
Well, it's been my experience when you ask the questions that they can transfer you over to a supervisor if they don't have the answer to it, and that person can ask answer the question for you. I did it recently with the Police Officers Association. I don't know the full name of it, but, you know, they call with this really authoritative voice. We're calling on behalf of the police, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I asked the person, I said, well, can you tell me how you're rated on Charity Navigator? And he hesitated, and then he hung up.
Wow, what does that mean?
He either didn't have the answer and didn't want to answer it.
Oh.
I sounded too knowledgeable. Hmm. So,
or he didn't know what the question meant, like I didn't.
But you're not doing money.
Well, then you don't hang up. You ask if you're on the phone with the solicitor. You're right, you ask.
Maybe you can tell our listeners. Maybe we know what to ask next time.
Well, what's a good percentage?
Yes.
What was a good percentage that you would suggest? Like you said, what percentage goes to the charity and what goes to the telemarketer? Or what do I not want to hear?
I don't want to hear 80-20. I want to hear more like 50-50 would even be.
So 50-50 is okay.
Something that I could live with. But see, at that point, what I would do, Boris, I would just say thank you very much and give to the charity directly myself.
Well, I definitely want to continue this conversation. Definitely, because I want to know if you can believe in smaller charities more than bigger charities, and is there a website we can go to know what's good or what's not a good charity? I'm
sure.
Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We will continue talking to Gatsby Brown after the short break. Please stay with us.
We'll be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
A lot of regrets, I apologize for all of the stress. It's not what I meant to do, you know I love you to death. Even if
both break down tonight, and you say you hate me, and we go to bed angry, I know everything will be alright. I'll be here waiting, I promise I'm changing. I just need time.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back to the show. For those that are tuning in, I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We are live on your radio and also on Facebook, and later the show will be available as a podcast. Search for any podcast channel or download our app, The Cure. That was Time by NF. We all have regrets. And I have often apologized for the stress, but just the same way Bobby knew that's not what I meant to do, and he knows I love him to death, that even if we both break down and we go to bed angry, I know everything will be all right. A good few times, I promised to change. Nonetheless, he was always there waiting. He knew all I needed was time. Just in the same way God does. God loves us even more, and his timing is perfect.
So, but now that we are like confessing stuff, maybe I should say something too. I'm not perfect either, right? Sorry.
God's timing is perfect.
Okay.
We are talking to Gatsby Brown about myths that exist around donating. Gatsby, why do you suppose God approached the meek, the poor and the weary, the sinners, those who needed him most? Did he not say, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven? So Gatsby, do faith-based charities operate in the same way as other nonprofits?
They do, yet they have a higher calling.
because of what you just said, and the fact that Jesus gave us the mandate to do for the least of these. And so you find faith-based nonprofits, they are addressing every conceivable issue from the cradle to the grave, from daycare to school to domestic violence, food pantries, feeding the hungry, clothing those who need clothes,
counseling,
shelter, counseling, all the way to hospice care. So
nice.
From the cradle to the grave, faith-based organizations are doing great work and have great missions. I wrote Business of a Spiritual Matter, what all faith-based nonprofit leaders should know, because I have been exposed to the best practices in the nonprofit world through both my teaching at the fundraising school, at the Lilly Family School of Philanthropy, and my own practice. And I have seen a few nonprofits, or some nonprofits who are faith-based, focusing so much on the mission that they're not paying as much attention to the infrastructure of the organization, and as a result, it is not as well-run as it could be. And we are required in a faith-based organization to operate in excellence as unto the Lord. So
nice.
Therefore, the book, it deals with how to build a good board, how to mount a capital campaign with step-by-step instructions on how to do this. Because after all, even though it's a faith-based operation and it's a faith-based nonprofit, nonprofits have a mandate by the government to operate in certain ways, the 501c3 charter. So we want to make sure, and I've done this through Business of a Spiritual Matter, to make sure that strategic planning is done correctly, that all annual fundraising is also done decently in order. In fact, there is a chapter on the decent and order factor. So faith-based organizations are just absolutely so necessary for us to operate as a society and one that's loving and loves God. And so I really believe that they should operate the same according to the law, and they should operate at a higher standard according to God's law.
Well, I think that when it comes to faith, when you have God in your life, you want to do things right. And I think that's what could make the big difference in other nonprofits. And could you also tell me, Gatsby, when it comes to faith-based nonprofit charities, if what part of it goes towards the charity as opposed to the business and the structure? What percentage?
Well, yes, I say 50%, because
50-50.
It costs money. It costs, some people would say 25%. I simply disagree with that as a professional in the nonprofit sector. It costs money to raise money, and those development professionals that are part of the organization must be paid equitably. You must keep the lights on and keep the rent paid or the mortgage or whatever it is. So the overhead responsibilities must be taken more seriously than they have in the past. Nonprofit does not mean you should be poor. Nonprofit means that you are operating according to a mission, and that you're not accountable to shareholders. You're accountable to donors.
Right. You can help others if you don't forget to help yourself, right? I mean, something's got to run it.
Absolutely. And to the point that you made before, that the nonprofits, faith-based nonprofits, really want to do the right thing. But do they know how to do the right thing? That is why resources like my book are very helpful in learning about what the right thing is to do.
That's wonderful. I suppose that if there's a charity, will know that it's faith-based, they'll make themselves known than other nonprofits. But that's good to know. That's really good to know that we should ask what percentage goes to faith-based and nonprofits and what to expect.
Exactly. And not all faith-based nonprofits identify themselves as faith. Many do, like Salvation Army. They are unapologetically faith-based, and others who
nice.
Just say, this is who we are. I have been a part of situations in strategic planning where there have been some suggestions by board members. Well, we shouldn't mention faith in this because donors won't give to us. We want to have a broader donor base. I call that pandering to profit. You wow. are what you are, stated proudly,
yes.
and move ahead because he will make room for our gifts.
God will provide.
Yes.
Gelby, what do you think is going to be the future in as far as taking care of important issues? Do you think that the government will be more involved, or charity work or corporations will step in more?
Well, that's a great question.
When it comes to charitable acts.
There is a report that comes out every June from Giving USA that we as professional fundraisers wait to get this report every year with bated breath. And what it showed in this last report is that corporations give it about 5%, that $427 billion that I talked about at the top of the show that was given to charities in 2018, only 5% came from corporations, 15% from foundations, and 8% from bequests. Then there was the 69% from individuals. So when you add that all up, the bequests, the family foundations that are a part of that foundation giving, and the individuals, most of the charitable giving in the United States comes from individuals. Then there's another statistical piece, a high net worth study that's done by U.S. Trust and Lilly Family School of Philanthropy. They have found that in asking a lot of questions, that these high net worth people believe that they can do more by investing in a nonprofit than they could do themselves individually.
That's incredible. And this is The Cure. We'll be right back after a short break, and we will continue talking with Gatsby Brown about the positive and the purpose, positive aspects and purpose of charities. Please call in if you want to share your thoughts.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Then I think of the stars, and it echoes a spark. And I remember the magic electricity. Then I look in my heart, there's a light in the dark. Still a flicker of hope that you first gave to me, that I want to keep.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
We're back. Thanks for joining us. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. Listen to us on your radio every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern or through our app, The Cure, which soon we will have an app for Samsung. That was Flicker by Now Haran. I think of the start. It echoes a spark, and I remember the magic electricity. Then I look in my heart. There's a dark in the light, still a flicker of the hope that you first gave to me, that I want to keep. I remember the start when Jesus appeared in a dream to tell me I can come to him. That was a spark that ignited the electricity in my heart. He was a light in the dark that I always remembered, the flicker of hope he first gave to me that I want to keep. Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied." Most of us have a hunger of helping others. Gatsby, has daily prayer made a huge difference?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things I want to do with and will be doing with Business of a Spiritual Matter is creating a daily devotional for faith-based leaders. I'm a woman on a mission for on faith and fundraising because of my deep faith. And just knowing how hungry people are for information to do better is driving me. And that still small voice within me that keeps saying, go and do this. This is my will for you, is a driving force.
Prayer is what brings us into the reality and helps us see things for what they really are. But you haven't...
Surely.
You've experienced working in various nonprofit industries. The Washington National Opera, and also for faith-based organizations. You've done them both. Where does it seem that people are more generous, and why?
I think I'm finding that people are more generous in giving to religion because they have a deep faith and a sense of belonging in that sector. Once again, remember that 69% of individuals that I talked about, and then how there's such a large percentage of those individuals giving to religion. So religion still plays a huge part. Unfortunately, we are being, we have to pay attention to something that is growing called the nuns, and we're not talking about Catholic nuns, we're talking about N-O-N-E-S, those young people who are more and more unaffiliated with organized religion and churches. They believe they are, quote, spiritual, and they don't need to be part of a church in order to live. And so we have to pay attention to the unchurched and those who have been turned off by various things that have happened within our sector. One of the things you mentioned, prayer, there's a chapter in my book called Prayer Changes Things and So Does Change. And with regard to your question on generosity, with the tax reform law that was put into place, we saw a diminishing of giving last year. And it is really concerning because without having to itemize on the tax return, some people are not, they don't have the same incentive to give. In fact, you know, at the end of the year, people would give because they would want to be able to claim it on their taxes. But with tax reform and the non-itemization, that doesn't have as much of incentive. And we're hoping that this year people will see their generosity in the light that it should be and begin to give again.
Why do you suppose some people are hesitant in giving?
Well, it depends on their motivation. Some people give, and the number one reason people don't give is because they weren't asked. But after being asked, some people are not sure that the money is going in the right way. They haven't been asked by the right person. But mainly, people do want to give back and to make a difference in the world, in the main. But they just need to go through the steps of understanding what the charity is all about. And I just want to talk about the red flags, if we could, for just a minute. If the charity is not recognized by the IRS, you can go on to irs.gov, go into the nonprofit section of that, and plug in the name of the charity. If it is listed, nice. You should be able to see something called a 990. Every charity that's recognized by the IRS has to submit a 990 by law. You will be able to see the board. You'll be able to see how much money they spend, and you'll get a lot of information from that. Then another red flag is, and we talked about this a little earlier, is that more than 50% is going to administrative costs. You don't want more than 50% going there. You want it to go to programs. Another red flag is you can always go. There are a number of watchdog organizations in the nonprofit industry. One is called GuideStar. Another one is called Charity Navigator. And there are others. The Better Business Bureau is also a nice resource.
A way to check.
And, yes, it's a great way to check. Charity Navigator, nice. They give stars. And GuideStar is only used, the charity has to submit its information, and depending on the kind of information that it submits, the charity is rated bronze, silver, gold, or platinum, which is the highest. And you want to make sure that you are looking at those highly rated and highly looked at organizations. And then go on that charity's website. Thoroughly check out the website. If there's no indication of results but a whole lot of activity, you want to know how many people were actually reached or helped. Look for actual numbers. I saw a charity that had planes
they were landing on Abaco Island, and this I saw this about 4 weeks ago, and with lots of food and supplies, but there's no one on Abaco. They're all in Nassau or in Miami and other parts of the country because they had to flee Abaco. But that charity will say, we brought in X number tons of food, we had X number of bottles of water, supplies, but who did they go to? Who did it help? So these are the kinds of things that...
And how do we check that again? Who did it go to?
Yes, you want to make sure that it's results, not just activity. Not just saying we went to Haiti, for example, and we had a missionary trip and we went there. But how many people were reached as a result of that trip? How many people were helped? Look for actual numbers.
Well, these websites that you've given and this information that you've given us, I find extremely helpful. And we will have it on our website. Because somehow I believe that if people have the education, if they know that it's legitimate, that it's going to a good place for a good purpose, I think people are more than willing to give back, to do in return. Because there isn't not one of us that has not been helped in one way or the other, for which we cannot help someone else.
Well, that is so true. By the grace of because God, there go I, we should all say. Right?
I mean, even mm-hmm. in this multicultural nation that we call the United States, we all have a common good that brings us together. And the love of humanity.
And that's what philanthropy is.
Which, that's what you are. I believe that whenever someone gives, and just gives for the right reasons, not expecting anything in return, not even to be recognized, it comes back in better ways than you can imagine. It doesn't even have to be monetary. It can be in ways
so
you didn't
true.
Even think possible.
Well, I totally agree with you about that. Volunteers are needed by many, many organizations. And then they need people who are willing to serve on the board, which is so important. Building the board of an organization has tremendous value because the life of the organization depends on the board. So choose a board as just as it is. It means that the life of the organization will depend on the strength of the board, the board members. We're coming both.
Yes, and sometimes it takes a family to raise a child, doesn't it? When we're back, we'll continue talking with Gatsby Brown about the myths of donating. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. Please call if you want to share your thoughts, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884.
We'll be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
Continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
We're back. Thanks for being with us. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. You can listen to The Cure every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on your radio, on our app The Cure, or social media. We're available on Facebook or later as a podcast. That was Lights Up by Harry Styles. Do you know who you are? A child of God. I know I'm never going back. We are made in the likeness of Christ. We are meant for great things. We all have that spark in our hearts. We are meant to shine bright and step into the light. For God is the light and the way. We are joined by Gatsby Brown, the nonprofit Mythbuster. It was said in the Bible, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh." Those of us who have been through hardships, we tend to appreciate doing things right. Gatsby, how can you tell if a nonprofit is well run?
Once again, very important to look at the board. Go on their website. Look at the board members, something about them. There should be bios of each board member. That is where you're beginning, because sometimes nonprofit organizations get the boards that they deserve, but not the boards that they need. Sort of harsh. But
can this nonprofit organizations have maybe reviews or anything like that? People that have received the donations, or people that have donated before and things like that. I know that a lot of us, we tend to look at reviews.
Yes, you can look at reviews, and once again, look at Charity Navigator, and also look at GuideStar, which will have a lot of information on how the organization is viewed. The Better Business Bureau, if there have been any complaints that have been unresolved, okay, that will show up there as well. But when you go on the website of the organization, they should have financials. Go and see if they have an annual report, so that you can look at their financials and see how they are running the organization. If they've had a change in leadership, say they've had three presidents over a five-year period, you don't want to deal with that for now, because they're not a stable organization. So it's things like that that are indicators.
I see. Okay. Are the donations to charities mostly coming from millionaires and billionaires, or from small donors?
Another great question, Amy. The average amount of giving is about $2,000 over a year's period of time from individuals. So you know that that is nothing near what billionaires and millionaires are giving. But that is making up the bulk of that $427 billion that was given to charity. So the answer to your question is, it's average folks just like you and me who are giving sacrificially because we believe in the need to give back and make a difference.
Oh, maybe that's why somebody said, Jesus, God, blessed are the poor. Because, and, you know, even growing up, I heard money's the root of all evil. And maybe there's some truth to that. It is when we don't have enough that we turn to God the most. And then when we're comfortable, we sometimes forget about him.
Well, this is true. So, but let's correct that scripture. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not that the money is the root.
Oh, the love. That makes more sense.
Is the root of all evil. And because of the love of money, people will do some pretty awful things. And that's also why the Half Faith Institute is in place to make sure, and our slogan is, no matter your faith, every nonprofit leader must have faith. And we're talking about faith in the mission, faith in your donors.
Yes, for example, look at Team Tebow. He's not poor, and he's doing great things. Team Tebow, the football player.
Yes.
You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Tim?
No.
He helps children that are born with Down syndrome and that have disabilities and stuff like that, because that's another way of helping.
You're talking about the athlete?
Yes.
Oh, sure, yes. He's very, very generous in his spirit, and that comes from the heart. You can tell that
he's
faith. Yes, absolutely. And there are many others like him.
Right, and he's got volunteers, so even if you don't have money, you can volunteer, and as long as you're doing something worthwhile, and anytime you're helping someone else, or at least that you feel helpful, I think it's something
absolutely
worthwhile.
That is very true. And it takes people like that who are role models who kind of inspire other people. Well, if he can do that, I can do X on my own level and feel like their generosity really makes a difference, which it does. Because I'm not saying to stop giving. I don't want people to have a takeaway that they should stop giving. By all means, give. But just slow down a bit and do your research and then give.
And also, we can get inspired by others. What should leaders of nonprofits know?
Well, once again, they should know how to put together a strategic plan, the difference between a strategic plan and an operational plan. They need to know that because the strategic plan is their organizational roadmap. You wouldn't take a trip from Miami to California without a map, right, Amy?
Right. So and money, of course. They need money. I learned.
Yeah, of course. But this is what the strategic plan does. It gives you a roadmap of how the organization should, and the direction in which it should go. So this is what nonprofits need to know. All of this is in Business of a Spiritual Matter. It's available on Amazon, so that go there and take a look. There are questions, reflective questions, and action steps after every chapter. For example, for those who have schools that are operating that are faith-based, there is a chapter called Why the Bake Sale Will Never Be Enough.
Excellent. So they're good for beginners also.
It's for both the veterans. I've had endorsements and several leaders have read the book already. And they have come back with feedback like, you know, even for a veteran like me, I've learned some things. So it is for every nonprofit leader who is interested in serving excellence as unto the Lord.
Nice. Gatsby, we just have a few minutes left in the show. Would you like to say something else to our listeners?
Yes, I want to also talk about the fact that nonprofits should think like a nonprofit and act like a business, because it's very, very important to run your nonprofit very well. Be clear about your mission. Be transparent with donors about how where the money is going. And then there's something called the Donor Bill of Rights. Let your donors know how important they are and what they are privy to in terms of knowledge about you. So just think like a nonprofit which is doing good and making a difference in the world, but act like a business.
Okay, and supposing you had your heart in the right place, but you didn't know how to go about it, is there websites or even your book that could help them in that leadership role?
Oh, absolutely. The book, Business of a Spiritual Matter, will give you everything from soup to nuts on how to run a nonprofit. Believe me, it was written out of my heart to make a difference for nonprofit leaders. So I sort of emptied my brain on what I know, and what I know comes from a very, very good place with regard to best practices. And if they were to get the book, they would see both that, and I have about 99 funding resources that are a part of the book, too, so that they can look to where they could write grants and proposals
to
various funding sources.
And if anybody has any questions also,
I have a question.
Gatsby.
What about after life giving, like ways people can donate and leave things to charity when they pass on, as opposed to, there's ways to do that, right?
Like in donating the inheritance?
Yes.
I think it's 664.
Absolutely. There are wills. There are charitable trusts that can be set up. If a person has a donor-advised fund through the community foundation, that can be done. This is all part of what we call planned giving, and this is what we consider the highest level gift that anyone can give in the nonprofit sector, because you are taking your resources and saying, after I'm gone, I believe you will take care of the mission and take care of the things that are important to me and my deepest interest. So with that, you should confer with your wealth advisor for that, and also with your banker and your lawyer to make sure that, and work with the organization to make sure that your gift is exactly what you want it to be, whether it be life insurance a charitable renewable trust, a will, bequest, or any other estate planning mechanism.
Right.
And there are many.
Because you can't take your money with you, right?
Nope.
At least you can put it to a good cause.
You cannot.
But we're almost done. Gatsby, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for being on the show today. It's been a pleasure to have you.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome. I love the conversation, Amy, and your crew there. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you. And thank you, the great Wanda. And thank you, Jasper, for helping with the sounds. It is important that people can hear us. For more information on Gatsby Brown and her work, please go to GodIsSecure.com and look under guests. Now let's pray. Oh my God, I offer thee all my actions of this day for the intentions and for the glory of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I desire to sanctify every beat of our hearts, our every thought, our simplest works by uniting them to its infinite merits. And I wish to make a reparation for our sins by casting them into the furnace of your merciful love. O my God, I ask thee for myself and for those who I hold dear, the grace to fulfill perfectly thy holy will, to accept for love of thee the joys and sorrows of this passing life, so that we may one day be united together in heaven for all eternity. Amen.
Amen.
Also, a quote from the Good Book. If among you one of your brothers shall become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure
with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit GodIsTheCure.com.